What are mass extinctions? I think I know, but let's get it nailed down.
Yeah, there are very short periods in the geological past when large numbers of species rather suddenly went extinct. You know, the whole point is how sudden is the rather suddenly. Well, we certainly know about one of them, the dinosaur extinction of 65 million years ago. That was certainly caused by asteroid impact. All evidence for the last 20 years since that was discovered by the Alvarezes indicates, indeed, it was caused by, let's say, a 10-kilometer body hitting the Earth. But none of the others, and there were 15 of them in the last 500 million years, none of the others show the telltale signs of an impact extinction, which is bits of iridium, which is what you find in outer space asteroids, a platinum group element, or small spherules of glass. As this thing hits, it throws a lot of rock up into the sky, and it comes back, melts into tektites. Well, we don't find any of that around these other mass extinctions.
All right. Look, could you describe, Peter, essentially what happened when that hit? In other words, here we've got a world, I don't know how the continents were then, I have no way of knowing, but essentially breathable air. The dinosaurs were breathing air, right? So breathable air, and these great big monsters, for the most part, suddenly dropped dead. Now, what actually happened in the world to cause that?
Well, when that asteroid hit, very quickly, so much material was thrown up into space. And we know where the crater is, of course. It's the Chicxulub crater in the Yucatan Peninsula. So the crater now is 200 kilometers across, so a 120-mile-wide crater. And think of the volume of rock that would have been thrown up into space. Well, not all of it went into orbit. Some came back quickly, and as it comes back, the hot rocks, they get hot, heated, and catch fire to things when they hit the ground. So the forest caught on fire. We know that much. Secondly, all the dust obliterates the sun for a while, so we have no sunlight, photosynthesis stops, and we have an awful lot of sulfur material because it hit in a sulfur-rich sedimentary rock sequence, so you've got sulfuric acid. So the place becomes very acidified. You've got worldwide global forest fires, and you've got a lot of dust falling on everything. And that's a nice prescription for species death.
So the world dimmed for how many years, do you guess, Peter?
Oh, I think the estimates now is 30 to 50 years of very dimness. But it was certainly the heating and all the black smoke coming up from these burning forests would have certainly added to that.
Sure.
So some people thought we went into a nuclear winter, that Carl Sagan idea that it gets very cold after it was very hot.
It would take something about that serious to do what was done, wouldn't it?
Well, we thought so, Art. And after that was discovered in 1980, we thought all the mass extinctions were caused by these asteroids. And indeed, one by one, we went out, we scientists who were interested in this, and extinction after extinction, we couldn't find that evidence, and it was getting very frustrating. And I think the actual cause has been discovered only in the last 3 or 4 years. It's by a lot of different people, well, one in particular, a man named Lee Kump from Penn State. And he has suggested, and I've gone out to many of these sites and found confirming evidence, that these mass extinctions are caused by short-term global warming, which creates a series of bacteria in the oceans which produce toxic hydrogen sulfide. So we've got a case where the world is poisoned by poison gas.
Yikes. Where are we in that scenario right now?
Yeah, that's what spooks me a lot. We're at 380 parts per million carbon dioxide and rising. And we're rising at about 2 parts per million per year, but that is accelerating. If the geological record tells us, we can measure directly what CO2 levels were in the past.
Right.
We know that every one of these, what I call greenhouse extinctions, happened when CO2 was at or had risen above 1,000 parts per million. And secondly, they could only take place when all of the ice caps have melted. If we melt our ice caps, which we're doing very quickly. And interestingly, I have one of the great experts on ice caps down in my guest bedroom. Joe Kirschfink from Caltech, the man who discovered Snowball Earth, is here for 4 days working with me. And I asked him tonight, I said, look, I'm going to be on Ark Bell tonight, and how long do you think it would take to melt Greenland? And he said, 1,000 years at the rate we're going. Well, that sounds like a long time, but geologically it's an instant. So we could start this gas attack mass extinction process in 1,000 years or somewhat less. There's an even a scarier prospect or that's quite related to that. What if it isn't CO2 that gets out, but what if it's methane? There's a guy at Northwestern named Greg Riskin, who's a chemical engineer, a couple of years ago did some calculations that the Black Sea has at its base, at its bottom, enormous quantities of methane, which could come out of solution. And were this to happen, of course, methane is flammable. So you have this big bubble of methane come out, and it's struck by lightning. And in his scenario, he had this floating over China and burning up about half of Asia. Well, everybody laughed, ha, ha, ha. Except the physics is quite correct. And now, I mean, your statement about the storage of CO2, the same happens to methane. And so we have these unbelievable greenhouse gases. And let's just say that the CO2 does come out. You've got an all of a sudden a huge plug of new greenhouse gas into the atmosphere. And Art, you know about feedbacks, that when we melt ice, the albedo of the planet reduces. Albedo, of course, is reflectivity. So all the ice, when it goes away from Greenland and Antarctica, exposes black rock, which absorbs more sunlight, which makes the planet warmer, which melts more ice, which makes more warmth. And so you see how this circular pattern goes. And it's funny you talk about tipping points, because, again, my friend Joe Kirschnick said, look, he's really worried about one of these runaway tipping points. And perhaps this sudden release of CO2 would do just that, in which case the 1,000-year estimate, as he said downstairs, is out the window. It would be much faster.